Last October last year, Missy and I had the privilege to go with Dave and Patsy over to an event called The Voice of the Apostles. And it was a conference where several Christian leaders, about a half a dozen Christian leaders, were teaching and ministering in various ways. It was a wonderful experience. Over 3,000 people showed up. The church only held 3,000, so it was a little bit tight in there. Several people had to sit on the floor. That was okay. And we got there, and we're waiting in line to get in. And as we were waiting in line to get in, I really wasn't sure what to expect. I'd never been to anything like this before. We're waiting in line to get in, and the line stretched way around the corner down the parking lot. And they had ministry interns, young people who were training, being trained to work in gifts of healing and impartation and things like that. We're walking up and down the line of people who were waiting to get in and just praying over them and giving words of prophecy over them, saying, you know, just asking the Lord to just minister a word of insight or knowledge, a word of wisdom. And this one young lady came up to me, and I got to say, you know, sometimes I don't know where I get this little curmudgeon hair in me. You know, I just, who knows? But I'm standing there, and this one young lady comes up, and I don't know, for some reason I just wasn't, maybe I was in the flesh, but I just was kind of underwhelmed, actually. I thought it was a little presumptuous and a little, you know, overreaching, a little overzealous. And so she comes up to pray for me, and can I pray for you? Oh, absolutely, you know, sure. And I'm being gracious. You know, I'm a nice guy, so I'm like, oh, yes, please. And so I'm like, oh, brother. Because I thought she was just being a little too cavalier. I wanted her to be a little bit more holy, you know, oh, this saith the Lord, you know. But she was just kind of bubbly and walked up, can I pray for you? Sure. So she did. She put her hands on me, and she was praying in the Spirit. And then she said this word came to her. The Lord gave her a word, understanding. And so she began to pray for me that I would get a fresh understanding at this conference. Well, that curmudgeon hair just grew a little bit longer because, frankly, I didn't want understanding. I came for power. I came for an impartation of power. I figured I had all the understanding after all these years of study that I needed, you know, and thanks very much, you know. And I was gracious and polite, but inside I was going, well, if, you know, if that prophecy was right on, you would have told me I was getting some power because that's what I came for. I didn't come for understanding. I got enough understanding. So I thanked her, and I was nice, and I kind of put her prophecy on the shelf in my mind. And I went inside seeking this impartation of power. Well, you know, God is so patient and so gracious and so wise. And He knows so much what we need better than we do. And so I'm in there, praise God, and God politely thanked me, and He set my unbelief on the shelf. And He tenderly, mercifully granted me understanding anyway. Because I didn't realize how much understanding really is the key to walking in the power of God. That wisdom and perspective that comes from above that allows us to see our world through different eyes. And so we get inside, and instead of receiving an immediate impartation of power that has me rolling on the floor, we spent 45 minutes trying to find a seat because they overbooked the place, you know. And people are jumping up and down and worshiping, and I'm like, where am I going to find a seat for Missy? Her legs or her knees are going to give out, you know, blah, blah, blah. But thankfully, that was okay, because after about 45 minutes, we did find a seat. Somebody gave up theirs for Missy, and I found a place on the steps, and we were comfortable. And a gentleman by the name of Bill Johnson, who I've never heard in my life, hadn't even heard of in my life, got up and began to graciously, gently teach the wisdom that comes from above, that is pure and easily entreated, full of good fruits, without hypocrisy or partiality. And it was so delicious. You know, when someone is anointed and they begin to speak, you just know. It doesn't take long. You don't have to figure it out. They just begin to speak, and all of a sudden your heart just starts to open up and receive what they're saying. And you know it's from God. It's pure, it's gentle, it's easily entreated. And He just began teaching from that Spirit. And I found myself enthralled with what He was saying. I was on the edge of my step, hanging on every word. And I found God starting to open up my understanding of the kingdom of God and how He works in those ways. And I began to consider things that I had never considered before. And I found myself after that conference embarking on a fresh, new, bold adventure in the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been absolutely thrilling for me. I mean that with every fiber of my being. It has been absolutely thrilling for me. Because God is unveiling a new reality and a new perspective, a new insight that I hadn't walked in before. I had sensed it. I had hungered for it. I could feel it inside of me, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it and lay hold of it. And God is just spreading His banquet table out and inviting myself and Missy and all of us to His feast. And it's beautiful. Praise God. And as part of that, as I've pursued that understanding and pursued that perspective, I found that Scripture is all of a sudden taking on a new life. I'm seeing the Bible with new eyes. I mean, kind of like when I first got saved, you know, and all of a sudden the stories you heard took on a whole new meaning. And now all of a sudden I'm seeing with a freshness in my perspective, and it's exhilarating. I'm loving it, man. It's like, man, let me get into some Word today and see what God has for me and just let Him open up my heart to that stuff. It's thrilling. And one of the things that I'm realizing in all of this is that power, yes, it is very real. God is very powerful. But that power is not necessarily something to be sought per se. Rather, power is the natural outflow of a life that is filled with an intimate, passionate relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the natural fruit of a passionate relationship with the Lord. As you walk in His presence, as you walk in that glory, and He fills your life, you don't have to seek for power. It just begins to flow. It just happens. It springs forth. It cannot help but spring forth out of that relationship. And it's all about that relationship and having an understanding of the heart of Jesus Christ for those that He truly loves. He loves us. He loves you more than you can dream or imagine. Praise God. So I hope that you guys will join me, join us on this new adventure as we pursue the great and mighty things that God has for us. Man, I love testimonies like Dennis, man. I want to tell you, when Dennis came in here yesterday morning, he was all bent over because that was the only way he could relieve himself of pain. He couldn't stand, he couldn't sit, he couldn't walk without pain. He couldn't sleep because of the pain. And when we simply got before God and began to affirm the goodness of God and His love for His people, and to realize that if this was 2,000 years ago, if Jesus Christ was standing right there with us, knowing what His response would be to Dennis's request, and laying a hold of that by faith, man, when Dennis got up and said, "I can't make it hurt anymore, it's gone," man, give me more of that, man. Glory. So you guys ready? Because I'm going, man. I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none follow with me, yet I'm going to go. However that song goes. Anyway, let's turn to Mark chapter 1. We're going to get into this, man. This is going to take a few weeks to unfold the scripture we're about to step into today. But it's good stuff. Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 35. We're going to open up some stuff today. We're going to raise a lot of questions. You may have more questions at the end of this thing than you have right now. We're going to give you some answers, but it might raise other questions. That's okay. That's good. Because if you leave here curious, you'll come back next week to find out what those answers really are. So, Father, I just pray as we begin to dive into Your Word right now, Lord God, that You would anoint us, Lord. I know You are going to. We've already asked, God, just open the eyes of our understanding and help us to lay a hold of You. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Verse 35, Gospel of Mark. Now in the morning, talking about Jesus, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they had found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I've come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. You know, if you look at this passage, there's a lot of him casting out demons in there. It was a vital part of his ministry. We may not realize just how often our afflictions are demonically inspired. I have no thought that what Dennis was suffering yesterday came from God. I don't believe it did. Absolutely not in any way, shape, or form. But I don't think it was either coincidental or accidental either. I think that was an attack of the enemy. And that's one of the things we did, was to rebuke that thing off of him. The enemy wants to discourage us and wants to afflict us. That's what he does. So there he was, preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, casting out demonic spirits. Verse 40. Then a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he, Jesus, strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone. But go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every quarter. Frankly, I'm a little sympathetic to the ex-leper. You know, if my body was eaten up with that stuff and I was on my way out of this world and someone came along and suddenly touched me and made me whole, I would have a little trouble passing by all my friends and not saying, "Ah, I got healed, I'm clean." All right, maybe I wouldn't say it that way. Like, "Dude, check this out." I would have trouble. I just couldn't contain that. But, you know, also, frankly, Jesus told him, "Go to the priest, show yourself to the priest, let him declare you clean, and let him go through that ritual and ceremony that Moses prescribed and make the sacrifices Moses commanded." Well, I went back and researched it. In fact, just about the entire 14th chapter of Leviticus elaborates this, you know, really meticulous ceremony you're supposed to go to if you happen to get healed of leprosy. I mean, you got to take two birds, kill one in earthenware with running water, take the other bird and get some scarlet and hyssop and cedar wood, put them all together, dip it in the blood, sprinkle it on the guy, and then he can come back. Oh, and then set the living bird free in an open field. Then he comes back into the city, but he can't stay in his tent for 7 days. And before he comes in, he has to shave all the hair off of his body and wash his clothes and wash his body. Goes into the camp, can't go in his tent. 7 days goes by, he shaves his head and his beard and his eyebrows, and then they have to take him to the altar, the tabernacle of the Lord, where the guy takes two male lambs and a female lamb and a flour and grain offering and a log of oil and on and on and on and on and on. And let me tell you, first of all, before Jesus came on the scene, how many lepers do you think actually got healed? So here he goes to the priest, if he was going to do that, And the guy, I mean, generations of priests probably lived and died before anybody, any lepers ever got healed. He probably, when the guy showed up, he probably wouldn't have known where to find the thing. You know, the dust on the chapter 14 of Leviticus is probably so thick he'd have had to, you know, smoke up the house just getting it clean so he could read the thing. I know it's in here somewhere. Why, God? You know, my dad never had to look at that, and my grandfather never had to look at that. What did you come and bother me for? I don't know where that thing is. And, you know, they probably wouldn't have even believed him anyway. They probably said, well, you know, come on. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever been healed of leprosy. It probably wasn't even leprosy anyway. It was probably a misdiagnosis. It was probably some other, maybe you had eczema or something, or you had like a diaper rash or something. I don't know. It probably wasn't leprosy. If it was leprosy, you're probably not really healed anyway. It's just in remission. It's not showing itself right now. But, you know, you wait next week, man, you're going to be crawling around here, arms falling off in the whole nine yards. So don't bother me. Go home. He'd been walking around scratching his head. That's where we got the name, Scratch Your Head Ministry. Because, you know, folks get healed, and they go to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, I don't know what it is, and they're walking around scratching their head. It probably wasn't what you had. It was probably a misdiagnosis. You never really had it anyway. But maybe it's even worse than what you had, and we're missing it. So we need more tests, and we're going to send you back to the doctor five times so that they can figure out what it is you really got that's terrible and horrible. I don't blame the guy for not going to the priest. The heck with the priest. He never helped me before. Man. All kidding aside, this is one of the most heart-moving, tender stories in all of Scripture. I mean, here we have this guy. He's afflicted with one of the most dreadful diseases known in his day.